So glad to be here once again, and I saw many old friends this morning, and I see some tonight that I haven't seen that weren't here in the daytime, and so glad to have you here. We're going to be doing a little bit of a different format than the other Friday evenings I've been here for the last number of years, because we're going to do two meditations, and we're going to be experiencing something a little different, something a little new tonight. But first, we're going to start with just a brief 5-minute meditation that I call arriving in the room. This does not count as one of our two meditations. The invitation to yourself is to arrive here now. To arrive where? In this room. To arrive when? Now. To arrive where? Here. That sense of here-ness. To arrive when? Now. Here and now leads to a kind of presence. A kind of conditions for mindfulness to be invited to arise and stay present. So starting with the feeling of the room itself. And then noticing any kind of sound or any other feeling that is arising and passing in the room, any other sense gate experience. The presence of other people, the sound of the projector, my voice. This sense of here in this room. And then reflecting for a moment on your goal, the motivation that brought you here. Some sort of deepening of understanding, of contacting, relating to others, freeing oneself from suffering. All these different kinds of goals that we may have. Just notice the wholesomeness of these goals. Wholesome goals are revitalizing in themselves. And then our intentions, moment to moment, the intention to be present, the intention to have compassion for ourselves and others. Goals change, and the skillful means we employ vary with the goal, but the intentions don't vary. Intention is each step we take, our coming out of our deepest core values, how we wish in any moment to be present. And then bring the mindfulness front and center, that you are employing mindfulness, this ability to be present in the moment, to receive the experience of the moment, both in body and in mental activity and in the heart, to receive fully the moment and to investigate it without identification. Just mindfulness in this very moment, and the next, and the next. And then come to the body. And as you start to turn towards the body, Notice the attitude. What attitude are you bringing this evening? So when you focus on the body, is there a kind of irritation with the body, a feeling of support for the body? Like, oh yes, the body, I remember this as part of meditation, just to see the attitude. And then whatever the attitude you started with, to have a moment of appreciation for the body. A moment of compassion for the body, for all that we ask of it. And then a kindness, a well-wishing, a friendliness to the body. And in this way, we arrive in the room. Having arrived here, we can then receive the experience. So oftentimes, we, particularly at the end of a work day, can arrive to our meditation practice or our movement practice, but not actually ever fully arrive there. And it makes a big difference in the experience. So this is something that we can just develop a habit around, to arrive when we come to someplace new. And of course, the same at work, arrive there. Or there's a meeting we've been dreading. We go to the meeting and we take a moment and we arrive there. We're going to do much better of taking care of ourselves, even if we don't want to be in that meeting, than if we're halfway in the meeting. Not a safe place to be. So I have, over a period of 20 years, after a chance encounter in India, studied with this teacher who lives there, and it's been an exploration of consciousness using a particular map that he developed after having sat for 3 days in continuous samadhi. And this kind of sitting in continuous samadhi that way is not, it's not usual, but it's not completely rare. There was a woman that's taught at IMS at various times when IMS was first starting, named Deepa Ma, and she was an Indian woman, and she too had sat for 3 days without moving. And those of you who know Joseph Goldstein, she would say to Joseph, "Joseph, you need to sit for 3 days." And Joseph is very funny talking about that in terms of, well, 3 days. So it's very possible someone in here could do that. It's not like the rarest of rare things in that way, but it is it's quite an experience, I am told. And in this instance, coming out of this, his name is Balyogi Premvarni, Sri Swami Balyogi Premvarni, if we're going to do his full title, this kind of name. And he had these insights about consciousness. He had been interested in consciousness since being a teenager. And he had these insights, and these insights led to we now call the nine bodies. And so I'm, without more explanation about him, I'm simply going to take us through these nine bodies in part tonight. Don't have time to do them all. And this is going to be a very, very a quick taste of all of these. If I could have the first slide, please. Traditionally, in the India philosophy system, the description of reality, the description is that there is a gross level or a manifest level. I like that word better. There's the level, the worldly level, where things are manifest. This chair is manifest. Our bodies are manifest. Things where they have come into a kind of solidity, as opposed to simply being energetic or potential. And so this is the most coarse level of experience. Doesn't mean that it can't be have a fineness, but it's coarse as compared to the second level, this what's called the subtle level or the energetic level. And this is where things are just energy, just as in our own bodies. Scientists tell us that there's all of this, that we, our bodies are really made up of very little particles and mostly energy. And most cells being these atoms mostly empty, and the vibration of the atoms. It's at this level of the energetic level. And then the third level is the causal level, where things are potential, but they haven't even become energy left yet. And the causal level is where most religions organize themselves. So they have a creation myth, a beginning, that is the way they are organized. In Buddhism, we don't have a creation myth in that way. Things just are, and from that, it's our relationship to how things are, in regard to suffering and non-suffering, the presence or absence of greed, hatred, and delusion, that we're organized in Buddhism. And in this particular map that I'm going to be going over briefly with you tonight, it does not speak to the, it does not have an origin piece in its map. The origin is just regarded as mysterious, and there's no interpretation of it, just that it's that way. And if I could have the next one, please. So this is an illustration. He did a series of illustrations. The book has 20 different illustrations, each of which is a teaching. And there's real knowledge in these illustrations. And I take you through each illustration in great detail, telling you every little part of that has its own symbol, and I take you through all of this and suggest how you can meditate with it and how you can reflect on it with each of them. And so this is the three-level teaching, and the body in front is the physical body, the body to the right is the subtle body, and then the causal body is the blue body on the left. And the Buddha figure sitting there in the navel area is this the representation of sitting in these bodies that allow us to be awakened. And although this teacher of mine is a Swami, he refers to the Buddha as the master at doing this in a quite beautiful way. And the lotus leaves represent this possibility of doing so, many more details than I'm going into right now, but you can find those in the book if you're interested. And then if we can go to the next slide. So Valyogi took those three bodies and had the realization that there were really nine levels of being, or nine aspects of being, or these nine dimensions of life, these nine different ways that we experience consciousness. And it starts at the physical level, that we have a physical body, and that's the first level of consciousness, the level of body sensations, which would start from the time we're a baby, we're aware of body sensations, and going to ever finer levels. And each level of experience, each aspect of experience, each level of consciousness has its own form of expression. We know it through these different expressions that we, just like with the physical body, it's the physical sensations that we experience, and the other kinds of ways that we have studying the body that we have learned in the Satipatthana Sutta, for those of you who have a regular practice. And then, so this led him to create an integrated map, starting with the three traditions. If I could have the next slide, please. The three traditions in going to the existence of these nine bodies. And it starts with the physical body, and then it next goes to what's called the vital body. And the vital body is your vitality. And you all know from your own experience when you have vitality and when you don't, or there's someone that's really this vital person, you say, they've got so much vitality. That's the vital body. It is different than fatigue and being rested. So you can have a lot of vitality and be tired, really tired, and you need to rest. But that doesn't mean you lack vitality. And likewise, you can be quite rested but not have much vitality. It is a level of being. It's an aspect of life that it's its own thing. It's closely related to the physical body, but not the same thing. There's a difference. And the vital body is the energetic body. It's sometimes referred to as the prana body. It is literally our energy, our core energy, like the energy that is underneath everything. Whereas, based on fatigue and other conditions, our more surface level of energy varies a lot. But the vitality of ourselves, well, it moves much more slowly. And it is very much affected by the physical body, and it very much affects the physical body. And likewise, then the emotional body, it affects the vitality of the body, the vital body. And the vital body affects our emotions. If we have low vitality, our emotional body lacks a kind of resilience. So it's not responsive in the same way that we have vitality. And that's pretty easy to observe. And Western medicine has all sorts of things to try to deal with that, including lots of drugs of various kinds they'll prescribe for you. And the Eastern approach is much more meditative oriented in its origins, not so true now, maybe it's all blended more together around the world. And so these are the three bodies that are manifest. The physical body, you wouldn't question the fact that it's manifest because you can reach out and touch it. You can hit yourself and feel the sting, and you know, yes, okay, I have a physical level of being. And the same with vitality. Everyone in this room could say, do you have much vitality right now? And you'd have yes or no, or somewhat. You would know what I'm talking about. You would have some natural reference to this. And if it's more vague for you, because oftentimes in regard to ourselves, we can get, we can have tuned out to ourselves, so we don't know it so well, but we can know it in others. We go, yeah, that person's got so much vitality. And someone else, oh, you know, they just really don't have much vitality. And then so it's manifest. It's manifest, it's measurable. Others can feel it in us, and they can, we can find common assessment and so forth, just like with the physical body. And then the emotional body is that body, that level of being, from which all emotions arise. It's like an ocean where there's waves, and the individual wave is an emotional moment characterized by some emotion, but the emotional body is that whole capacity. There is a body of capacity that we're emotional creatures. And so the teaching is to access that level of body that is the emotional body. And again, we know what's emotion and not, and emotions are manifest. And this emotional body is manifest in this realm. Thus, these three levels of manifest. Another word that can be used for the emotional body is there's a field. There's an emotional field, if that works better for you. There's emotional capacity, or there's like a a dwelling that you, there's this whole dwelling, and emotions come and go in that dwelling, lots of different ways to describe it. But it, again, is palpable, it's measurable, it's manifest in this realm. And tonight we're going to be going through each of these bodies as part of our experience. And from this realm, the manifest realm, through the use of very subtle intention, we are able to manifest what are known as energetic realms. Realms that are real, but they're energetic, they're more subtle. They're not so manifest in a hard form, but they are there and they can be felt if we just can get still enough and invite them in. And the first of these is the etheric body. And the etheric body has this kind of, it's the subtle energetic body. It's where all of the, it contains the vital body. It contains all three bodies, actually. It's where this, if you've had good body work from someone and there's some sense of well-being comes to you through that body work, they're accessing the etheric body for that. The etheric body has that when we know things that we can't possibly know, that's accessing the etheric body. When we have a sense of a larger connection to others rather than just at the physical level, this is through the etheric body. It's a very powerful body in this way. And then after that comes the astral body, which is when we've popped out of ourselves, when we're looking at ourselves like we were up on the ceiling looking down, or people in the emergency room or the operating room when they're looking down on themselves, that's the astral body. Again, real, but at an energetic level, not at this kind of hard, you can't go out and make the contact with the astral, someone else's astral body, with the way you can on the physical level. And then after that is the intuitional body, and I'm going to stop there with it for now, and we're going to be doing a meditation together in which I take you through some of these, and then we will have a break, and we'll come back. We'll either take questions before the break or after the break, and then I'll take you through one more round of meditation. So making yourself comfortable. We've already arrived in the room. So now we once again make contact with the physical body. The felt sense of the body. Knowing the body in the body, the Buddha teaches us. Knowing the breath in the breath. So it's immediate direct experience that we are paying attention to. Not ideas, not concepts, but the immediate experience of knowing. Thus, we don't judge the body, we don't compare the body, we don't fix the body, but rather, as best we're able, we open fully and directly to feeling the body in this moment. We can do this as the body as a whole, so we're just experiencing this sense of a form that's got shape and various kinds of definition within that shape. We can notice the body as parts. There's a head, there's arms, there's neck, chest, back. This is one of the ways the Buddha taught to know the body, the 31, 32 parts of the body, depending on how you count it. And then there is the elementary level, knowing the body as elements, which is also one of the ways the Buddha instructed us to practice awareness of the body. And here we become aware of the earth element in particular, feeling the earth element in the body. To do this, we drop our attention to the lower half of the body. And we notice in the pelvis that which is hard, firm, heavy. Earth element, earth element. And then we notice the upper leg bones. Again, with these thigh bones, what's firm, hard, heavy? Earth element, earth element. The knees and the two lower leg bones. Firm, hard, heavy. Relatively heavy, relatively hard to the soft tissue, to the liquid in the body. And the ankles and the feet, and the toes, so many bones, so much cartilage. Hard, firm, heavy. Earth element, earth element. And then we invite the earth element in the body to rest on Mother Earth. It's a kind of surrendering without collapsing. It's letting the perineum at the very bottom of the body really rest on Earth. We're not pushing into Earth, nor are we hovering above it. Through our chair, our bench, our cushion, we just invite this lower half of the body to be resting on Earth. This can create a relaxation response through the whole body. It can bring the mind to stillness, may not affect us at all. It can bring a sense of presence. It can bring us to the physical body. And we can observe that we can rest our attention on the physical body, just as the body itself can rest on Mother Earth. So the mind doesn't move around, it just stays present on this object of experience called body. Moving from the level of the physical body, but staying within it, we notice that in the physical body there is breath occurring. And so we shift the attention from the element of earth to the element of wind that manifests as breath in the body. With earth element, there is such a sense of stillness. Even though it is moving, its primary characteristic in any given moment is this felt sense of stillness. And now with the breath, we notice its constancy of movement. In, out, rise, fall. Stay with the breath, with this phenomena of breath. It may come in like a wave or a vibration or simply pressure. And now notice that this breath this wind element is characterized by movement. That's how we know it's there. We feel it entering and leaving at the tip of the nostrils or in the throat or the upper chest or in the belly, rising and falling, expanding, contracting. Just open to this experience of the breath as movement in this way, as movement is now our object, still anchored in the physical sensation of breath, but our object that's being known is the movement that's illustrated, that's pointed to by breath. And then we do a reflection on this object that we have. Well, what is movement but energy? So we cannot have movement without energy. And so with movement as our object, we open to this experience of energy until energy itself becomes the object of our meditation, our attention is on energy itself. As we establish attention on this phenomena of experience, this object of our attention, we can feel with energy as our object within our own body the existence of the vitality. So there it is, and that energy, it's vibrating in a way that feels vital, there's a lot of vitality, or in that energetic experience, there's average, sort of okay vitality, or your experience is there's very little vitality. And again, this is not the same thing as being tired or not tired. It's the underneath the core energy, not the temporary energy based on the immediate conditions. Feeling our own vital body. May I experience the vital body. May I experience the vital body. Feeling the subtlety of the vital body, that itself, even though it's manifest, it's not so easy to stay in touch with. But with the vital body as our object, we turn to the emotional body. We know the emotional body's existence by the ever-changing emotions that pass through us, arising and passing after a certain duration. Anger, excitement, joy, unease, all of these and many more. And then we start to notice that we can feel the energy of our emotions. That we can feel when a strong emotion has arisen, it's got a lot of energy. A little passing emotion, less energy. We start to feel a kind of independence that the emotional body has. Again, it's an intention to access emotions, but we don't necessarily feel directly the body, the field of emotions from which they arise. This level of being that is the emotional level of being a human being, the level of consciousness that manifests as emotions. And so these are the three manifest levels of being of daily life, a physical body, a vital body that's like the source of all of our energy, that kind of holds things together, and then this emotional body. See if you can access all three one at a time. Going back to the physical body. Coach yourself through this. Sensations are how we know the physical body, including the sensation of sexuality, the taste and touch, all of these different ways that we know the physical body. And then assessing your own vital body. Not trying to get it right, but just going into that area. And then the emotional body. All these emotions come and go. They point to, we can go through them and access the actual energy body, this field of potential, this aggregate of attention that can be all labeled as emotional. It's a capacity for emotion. Any given emotion that's arising in the moment is simply a manifestation of that, an example how we exercise it, how we find our ability to reach it. So these are and using this map of consciousness, these are the first three levels of consciousness, or aspects of consciousness, or capacities of consciousness. We can be conscious of the physical body, we can be conscious of our vitality, we can be conscious of our emotions. We have signals, we have organs that register. That organs that register body sensations, that constitute part of the physical body, a kind of intuitive sense of the vitality that registers the vital body, and then the same with the emotional body, that we have all of these different affects, these feeling states that point to the existence of the physical body, these levels of consciousness of the physical, of the emotional body. So that's this manifest realm of existence. And any question or comment about this, or as you were going through it, did you feel each of these? What was it like for you to be going through it? Anything like this that you would share or say? It's often like this in the evenings. When I'm teaching this in the evening, there's people very reluctant to speak. During the day, there was no reluctance like that at all. As we had more time with each of these bodies. Do you access your own vital body? Someone give me an experience of that, what it feels like to feel your own vitality. Please.
Felt today, but I have done it in the past when I'm really calm and peaceful and have really good connection with my body, then I can feel it. Noise takes over.
Yeah, the noise takes over, so you can't really feel the vital body in that way. Interesting. Someone, yes, please.
I can feel it as almost a tingling margin around my body.
A tingling margin around your body.
So different than spreading.
Right. He goes away. Well, and this is one of the things that the vital body is something that people often lose contact with. In my own experience, that's just something I have quite a bit of awareness of, is my vital body, before I ever got to meditation. But certainly after I was a Raja Yogi for 12 years before discovering Buddhism, and I really developed a strong access to it in that way. The advantage is that you learn how to nurse your own vitality. So you can be really tired, but you can still utilize your vitality. There are certain tricks that are not that can be unskillfully used, which I did more than once in my work life, where I could manipulate through the vital body. But it's a very strong thing. And but yeah, you notice someone else's vitality, right? You can notice that. That's not you too, right? Yeah, so it's interesting that if we can notice others, why do we not notice our own? And we can develop more a habit of noticing that, and then we will take care of our vitality more if we notice it. And then the emotional body for me was the most confusing of all of these nine bodies that are introduced. That was the one I had the most challenge accessing, because I could easily access any given emotion. I was comfortable being present for emotions, but I was going, so then what's the emotional body? Is that emotion the emotional body? And I had a lot of confusion about that, and it took me a lot longer than one session like this to really understand it. So I'd like some experience to hear some of your experience with the emotional body. Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. I can feel it sort of locate in a part of my body.
Yeah.
But at this moment in the meditation, I wasn't feeling any strong
Yeah, that's she could, when she has a strong emotion, she can feel it in her body and she feels like she has access to it, but she did not have any strong emotions, so she didn't know where to go in the meditation. And it is the capacity for emotion. It is this body of capacity. The capacity of what? To feel joy, to feel sadness, for feeling shame, for feeling generosity, for feeling connected, for feeling disconnected, to feeling satisfied, to not feeling satisfied. It's a whole body of capacity. It's a level of being where the consciousness of this level of being is the consciousness of emotions. And so we can have very quiet emotions and feel, yes, my emotional body is alive and accessible. And sometimes when it's really quiet and still, that's when we can feel it most strongly, as opposed to the other way around. So the the like an ocean. If the emotional body is an ocean, and then any given emotion is a wave, the wave is part of the ocean, but it's not all of the ocean. It doesn't, that wave doesn't capture the full feeling of an ocean, because it's too fast, it's too short, it's so on. Even if it's 20 feet high, it still doesn't capture ocean. It captures wave, a moment's arising. So it is with our emotions. They are a moment arising. They're momentary. Even if they come again and again, they're momentary. This capacity is ongoing. So you can have the presence of that emotion and then feel the emotional body from which it is arising. And then the trick is dropping the attention through to feeling that emotional body, that whole capacity. And in doing that, one starts to gain a different relationship to our emotions, where they are less defined by our soap opera story, and they're much more defined by the phenomena of the emotional body has this capacity. And that starts to create space. That starts to give us our freedom around dealing with sadness, dealing with loss, dealing with caring, dealing with feeling mistreated, all sorts of things we cease to contract, to identify with. In Buddhist terms, we cease to take birth in as though it were a permanent self, something that's arising and passing. We don't make it me or mine, although this capacity of emotion is manifesting in this particular wave of emotion. And it's out of the field of this emotional body, there's arising this experience, or we're accessing this experience due to conditions. Space around it, a kind of having choice as to how we relate to it, because we're not all grabbed onto it. We're not clinging, again, in our regular Buddhist language. We're not caught in the thirst that is associated in terms of the second noble truth, this kind of tanha or thirst. So anyone else say anything about the emotional body, please?
I have a question, actually. So on the same level, is that true of health and illness of the vital body? So are some people simply different in their vital body and their capacity for health or illness? I guess I'm trying to understand it on the same level that you're talking about the emotional body as having a sense of capacity.
Right. So as we access I'm going to say a couple of things first. The vital body very much affects the physical body, because if we don't have a lot of vitality, although we may rest and eat and get fuel and all of this, it's there's only so far we can go. But if we've got that underlying vitality, we don't even get as much rest, and we can go much further. Likewise, if we constantly abuse the physical body, it can start to drain the vital body, because the vital body is so much supporting it. In a similar way, if our vital body is weak and we're having a lot of difficult emotions, then those emotions rest so hard on us. But if we've got vitality, we have more responsiveness, more resilience for those emotions. On the other side, if we are constantly in emotional turmoil, it can start to drain our vitality. So there's these levels of consciousness are affecting each other. These levels of being are affecting one another. The vital body, when you bring your attention to it, so this happened this afternoon, this morning, for one of the people that was taking the course. As they were watching their vital body, they actually felt it get stronger. They felt it become more robust. They had a deeper access to it. So sometimes there's things that are obscuring, blocking our vitality. So, and when we find those blocks through our meditation of noticing this aspect of our lives, those blocks will start to release themselves. We start to have other understandings about those blocks. And on the other side, as we pay attention to it, we meet our vital body with loving kindness, with compassion. That attention, this kind attention, has a revitalizing effect on us. That's actually not hard to feel. Almost everybody can feel that. I mean, you just watch yourself, and you're where you're really not demanding or judging or comparing the vital body, but you really access that feeling of vitality with, oh, thank you for all the vitality that I've lived off from you all of this time, and you know, this compassion towards it, this kindness towards it, and it is it's like it's getting a warm bath in this way. It's a very beautiful feeling, and you know, it's called the prana body in the yoga world, because there's these different levels of energy that make up this body, and we can learn to see what's wise and not wise and how we're relating to it. The analogy that my teacher in this map of consciousness uses is the papaya. You can have a papaya, because now remember, he lives over in the jungle in India, and way removed from any cities over there. And he talks about having a papaya in your refrigerator. You're keeping it fresh, you know, in the refrigerator, but it's not fresh like it's still on the line, still on the vine. And that the that sense of we can work with our vital body in such a way that the experience is like it's still on the vine, as opposed to like in the refrigerator. But if we start cutting ourselves off, separating from it, there's not that. When it's on the vine, it's automatically renewing its own life, you see. But if we're not doing that, then it's not getting automatically renewed. I don't know, did that speak to you? Yeah. Very interesting, just at this level, please.
So aren't we constantly commingling vital bodies? I mean, all of us in this
room. All the bodies are present, these and all the others too, all the time.
Right. And so is there a way in which we
if you take care of your physical body, that can nourish your vital body. If you take care of your emotional body, that can nourish your vital body. These are from at this level. The other way the vital body gets nourished is through the subtle energy coming into the vital body, because the vital body is that portal, or the wormhole, if you like, between the subtle level and the manifest level of experience.
Because sometimes, you know, you can spend time with someone and you feel drained afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Or you spend time with someone else and you feel
yes.
Really brightened and enlivened.
Yes.
Is there a way to guard?
Yes. Yeah, you can definitely do that. I did not know that was the question you were going to ask next. First of all, so their lack of vitality, you can get in harmony with their lack of vitality and start to mirror it back. And so you're resonating at their lack of vitality when that's not your own, and you've got to shake it off in some way. And the very worst thing is to get body work from someone that has no vitality. I was once at a conference, and I was getting body work from this guy, and I started feeling awful. And I said, "So how are you today?" And he said, "Oh, I'm good." And I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Any injuries or anything?" He said, "No, I'm really fine. I did have a bicycle wreck on the way here to work on you, but it's not that big a thing." All of that was being transferred into my body. So it wasn't a big thing for him, because I was receiving it. So there's in that sense, and I tell people this all the time, when you feel your energy being drained, get out of that situation if you can. In the meantime, have compassion for that person, but do a deliberate sensation. She's 25 and I'm whatever age, or if she's 85 and I'm whatever age, whatever that is, she's wearing blue and I'm wearing brown, it's a male, I'm female, whatever, that you make these distinctions so that you're separating, you're breaking up that sense of resonance that we can get into. And her problems are her problems. She, you know, this is the equanimity practice. She is the heir of her own karma, and not my wishes for her, that whole thing. Creating an energy bubble around yourself so that you literally, you imagine, you invite the creation of this bubble, and everything's hitting that bubble. You really drop into yourself, and you have compassion and nourish yourself in that way. But I understood it more that you were talking about the way the bodies within themselves, within you, are interacting with each other. And that is far more relevant to us, the way we're interacting with our own bodies. Because we spend all of our time with ourselves, and everybody else is someone that's, you know, just coming and going in our field of being in this way. So the way that the vital body, each of these bodies, these levels of consciousness express love in their own way, and the physical body gives us the chance to know all of this. It gives us the physical body is the gift of felt experience. We get the felt, so much of our felt experience through the physical body. That is an act of love. What a wonderful gift to be a human being. Without it, what would it be like to be a human being if we had no felt sense? The vital body gives us life energy. Not the energy that's coming in the minute like from a fuel, but the life energy itself, this chi, this prana, that's life energy itself. That's the form of love that it's manifesting. The emotional body gives us this very capacity for love. It relates to, in a very direct way, to higher bodies. And it gives us this. So this being aware of our emotional body as having this kind of capacity that it's what it manifests can take us away from the soap opera of the drama of a given moment. So we're having a hard time. Oh, this is my emotional body is disturbed. One of the people at the thing today was saying at lunchtime. They had an unpleasant experience with another person, and they watched themselves get tight, and it wouldn't go away. And this was the emotional body had gotten activated, and that hurt feelings causes a contraction. I want it to be otherwise. I don't want this hurt feeling. I want to fight for myself, or whatever all the narrative stuff that comes up for you, and then to realize that we have choice, that it's just the emotional body that's been activated. And it's unpleasant, and it may be completely unfair, but it's just the emotional body. It's not more than that. It's just the emotional body that has been activated in this way. And that's how we start to have not be pulled down in the whirlpool, you know. So our physical body can be hurting, we don't like our physical body because it's too heavy or too old or too thin or too unreliable or whatever it is, and this can pull us down into this contraction of the clinging and the suffering. Or it can be something with the emotions that pull us down, or the misuse of our vitality can pull us down. And so we start to see this, and we start to see what's skillful and not skillful in this regard. So with that, let's take a 10-minute break and leave for the bathroom and moving around. And if you're comfortable doing so, let's stay in silence with it. Establishing mindfulness in the body. The felt sense of the body. The Buddha says, establishing mindfulness of the body to the point that there is knowing there is a body. Keeping in mind that there's a level of awe that we achieve at a certain point, not achieve or attain, we don't achieve it at a certain point. That means at that level that there is a body is known from point of view of awe, because everything is experienced as awe. So there's this mindfulness of the body, the consciousness of body, body consciousness, sensations, parts, elements, body consciousness. Taking the body as our object, we open to the experience of the vital body. That level of consciousness, that level of experience, that's the life force itself. This sense of vitality, this sense of life in the body, this vital relationship that creates aliveness. Otherwise, these body parts have no meaning. These elements of the body have no life force in them without the vitality. And the breath is the great bridge of that, because the breath is the gift of life. Respecting the physical body, respecting the vital body, having a felt sense of the vital body. We may have to coach ourselves through this a bit. Yeah. In this stillness, what's the sense of vitality in my own body? Deliberately separating it from the sense of fatigue or rest, separating it from the sense of being hungry or not hungry. This underlying life force, bubbling, still connected to the vine of life. This vitality needs oxygen, and Balyogi says it needs a kind of elan, that's kind of enthusiasm, that it's nourished by enthusiasm. Feeling the very fine sensitivity of vitality. We notice the vitality, the fine level of energy in the emotional body. We make the emotional body our object of meditation. We see that it has its own forms of consciousness in the way of waves of emotions. That it can be known in its own terms. Oh, anxiety feels like this. Just a wave arising out of this field, this ocean of emotion. And then we open to the experience of the interaction of these three. When they're in harmony, loving kindness flows naturally, compassion flows naturally. when they're in disharmony, various strains appear in each of them and amongst them. And then returning to the vital body per se, get really still, being quiet around the vital body, all of the attention going to the vital body. Bataka Vacharya, this aiming and sustaining, and those Pali words, where we're making strong contact with an aspect of our consciousness. And from this feeling of the vital body, may I experience the etheric body. May I know the etheric body. May the etheric body present itself. It's like what was subtle triples down in subtlety. The vitality is now at its roots. What is most nourishing to the vital body is the etheric body, with its subtle elements, so the earth element, the air element, in their energetic form are present in this body, this level of being. It is the body that contains the three manifest bodies, Bal Yogi would tell me it was like this was the mother, and the physical and the vital body were the child. Physical body and the Muslim were the child. They both exist. It's a body within a body. This etheric level, there can be a little disorientation. You can have all of these different energetic experiences, a vast range of them. It's here that whatever is collectively known exists, what Jung, C.G. Jung might have called the collective unconscious, what in traditional mystical language was referred to as the Akashic Fields. Akash in Hindi means a space. Akash, space. So it's not a dead space, it's an alive space. It's an energetically alive space. The vibration is more subtle. There's a degree of flexibility at this level that's not there in our manifest level. May I know the etheric body. May the etheric body reveal itself. You may feel its presence in the vital body or directly in it. It's like the thick body is this giant antenna that can receive all sorts of information from everywhere. All the subtle prana is present here that allows the physical prana to do circulation and digestion and so forth. It's all located here at the subtle level, the energetic level. Thus, we can invite more to manifest in the bodies of the manifest. Whatever you feel, assume that this is it. Trust your invitation. It's revealing itself as best it's able right now, given your conditions. May I know the etheric body. The physical body can become very light. You can feel a little switch in the brain, even in the skull. You may not feel anything at all. There can be a lightness of being that comes. Regular life may seem somehow a little less important, or you're not so involved in it. May I know the etheric body. The sense of understanding that you don't know what you're understanding, but you're feeling the presence of understanding. Loss may be more poignant, more tender. Some feeling of okayness, of harmony with the past. Having as our object of meditation the very fine subtlety of the etheric body, we turn our attention towards the astral body. So the level is the same, but then what's being accessed is different. This is a distinctly different level of consciousness, a different level of being. This astral body, just hearing that can make a shift. Again, there can be a shift in the skull itself that can feel a little funny or surprising. The body itself can seem less solid. It's the astral body when we are looking down upon ourselves, when we feel a little removed from our bodies. This is how we remove ourselves from our bodies, when we feel like I'm sort of near my body but not in it, or halfway in it, or if it's a very strong emotion and we don't stay in the emotional body, we often come to the astral body. Many people have the astral body as their point of meditation and not knowing it, that this is where they rest to meditate. If you have a history of trauma, you may be very familiar with this astral body because it can seem like the safe place to be. May I know the astral body. May the astral body reveal itself. If you've ever found yourself back in your home of origin, or you're with your loved one who's distant, but suddenly you're in the hotel room with them where they are, this is an astral body experience. In your dreams, when you're traveling somewhere, you're flying, this is astral body experience. May I know the astral body. And now very gently return to the etheric body. The astral body has a certain out-of-body experience, although it is also the way we come back into the body, not just how we go out, but how we come back. And we can learn to tether ourselves when we're in the emotional body, when we're traveling, for whatever motivation. The etheric body has a more kind of consistency. It's more immediately there. This sense of space, this very subtle level of being that's directly connected to the immediate life of the body, of the emotions, of the vitality. It's the microcosm, the body is the microcosm in the macrocosm, and it's the subtle body of the etheric body that connects our microcosm to the macrocosm of the all. It's while we're one with each other literally that we are an inter-one. We inter-R. It's why the many are the one. May I know the etheric body. This healing capacity is resting there in the etheric body. The sense of knowing. And then from the etheric body, deliberately coming back into the vital body. Invite that to be a nourishing, renewing, this flowing into the vital body. This pure energy, this wholesome energy of the etheric body, bathing the vital body. The gladdening of the mind experience has this kind of relationship. And then, with the mind firmly established in contact with the vital body, see if it's possible to expand the field of attention to include the physical and the vital and the emotional, where sometimes there are two of them are present at once, or all three. They may shift around. Or there's an ease of access that you can flow from one to the other, and you're in the manifest realm, and you know it. Consciousness of the body's kind of consciousness of the emotional body, its affective consciousness of joy and sorrow, caring, and dissatisfaction. It's all here. This whole realm of manifest. It's alive. It's alive with what? The vitality. And we're responsible for it. How we respond, how we relate to it, either causes suffering for ourselves or another, or does not cause suffering. These three is one. Mm. the one body that, if you get interested in this at all, the one body that I would have you explore for yourself is the etheric body. It's just, we did not get to the intuitive body tonight, but the etheric body is plays a key role in terms of the way the intuitive body works, which is where we have liberating insight in the intuitive body. It's the Buddhi, it's the higher mind that is available through the intuitive body. So I would have you know that about the etheric body, and just the wonder of all of this, that we can feel these subtle levels. I've taught this all around the country now, and people report all these different experiences just because they have a name for it, just because there's a pointing out. This kind of experience becomes available when it's not ordinarily. And any experience you would share with us, or question you have, or complaint, anything you want to bring forward at this time. Yes, please.
I have a lot of what I think people call lucid dreams. And would that be
Actually, I think that the when there's I would say that it's your intuitive body that's present and seeing that. And are you having a lucid dream where you know you're dreaming? Is that what you mean by that?
I am out of the dream watching myself.
Oh no, then that's astral. If you're, it depends on what you mean. But if you're out, that's astral. If you're looking down, if you're lying there in the body, if the awareness is just, you know that you're dreaming, and you're watching the dream. That would be intuitive. If you're out traveling and you're seeing yourself there sleeping, and you're watching yourself sleeping, that's different. Yeah, then that would be more intuitive. Yeah. So at on retreat, on the long retreats that I've sat, almost every one of them, except when I was having a whole 3-month pain retreat. I will go through a number of days, and evenings, nights really, where my mindfulness is so strong that I will realize, oh, I'm asleep, I'm mindful of being asleep. My whole system shut down in sleep. And then here will come a dream, and I watch the dream being experienced, and then the dream fading away, and then it's just nothing again, and then here's another dream, or so forth. And that kind of continuity of mindfulness is when one's at this subtle level. And it's in your first working with this, knowing you're at the subtle level is more important than knowing whether it's etheric or astral or intuitive. Just that, oh, I'm not in ordinary reality here. Yeah, I think that's any kind of imaging like that helps us. For myself, what I feel is like there's this whole, everything's very, and it's like all around, it's all this multidimensional, but like I'm in this big kind of knowing that has nothing to do with my regular intellect, that it's there and it's available. I may not be accessing it right now, but I know the truth that it is there in some way. Yeah. And the thing about that, this big space, and then that connection, so like, it's like we're cradled, our manifest level is cradled in that. So therefore, all of that's available to nourish the manifest body in that way. And then on the other hand, it's that kind of knowing is available for the intuitive body to utilize in spiritual insight. So that's a fine way to do it. So go with the experience and don't worry about whether it's imagined or whatever. It's the way the mind is finding to get to an experience. So just go with it and see what happens next. Be interested in it, but not grabbing hold of anything and not making a story about it, just that way. So there often be a kind of up feeling or a kind of pulled or something. And many people actually feel shifts in their brain that they report. I refer to it as the skull, something happening in the skull. But it's like a shift in the brain. Yes, please. An energy coming through you?
Coming to me.
Coming.
And I kind of know, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
I got to stay and, you know, see this out. And I don't know where that fits in this field, whether it fits at all.
If I understand it correctly, and I've only heard about 10 words about it, but I would say that that is the etheric level, or just the subtle level in general, but the etheric level connecting that connection between the vital body, your sense of immediacy, that there's something larger that you're feeling the connection of, and then that brings you into the immediacy of this very body, this very life, this very moment. Yeah. So a lot of times when we are when we're ill, if we have time and space to get quiet and get interested in our own vital body, and then accessing the etheric body, and then inviting the etheric body to help the vital body, invite it to pour through in that way. And again, healers do that. They just can do that. You don't have to, some people are just gifted with this. And it's very alive in them. It's just, and it can vary in us how much we can access that in that way. We're not interested in parlor tricks or any kind of, you know, we're not looking for some sort of meditation version of drug experiences. But rather we're interested in this level of being present, having this totality of our consciousness be available to us as we practice. Being able to, because we have, when we do sits, particularly more than an hour sit, you know, like we're doing a day long or a weekend or a 5-day, 10-day sit, we have all these different experiences while we're sitting there. And the standard Theravadin answer is just be mindful of it. And that's good practice, that's good advice. But also recognizing, oh, this is just an experience of the etheric body or the astral body or the vital body. That also is very useful, particularly if we get caught and there's a sense of stuckness or we have a repetition thing going. So we just keep having this repetitive thought or something like that. So this is last chance for anyone to say anything. Yes.
So I don't know if this will be helpful to other people, which is why I was hesitant, but I've been doing a lot of physical work, transforming my space, and so, you know, mindful with things that are outside of my body and, you know, not really doing a heck of a lot of actual mindful practice. As such, I've been experiencing a fairly decent amount interesting in our sit, because I found that, like, somehow I just felt wrong. Like, I need to turn my neck and stretch, and then all of a sudden a whole lot of energy seemed to open up. And, you know, I think you were coming from astral back to ethereal, and I was stretching my neck.
And suddenly the energy opened up. Yeah, so you had that kind of release. I was once sitting with Payok Sydal, who's this incredible, detailed kind of teacher, and I felt something pushing my lower spine up and out. I have a little slump back there. I have a long-term problem. And I thought the person behind me had extended their foot because it was so physical. And I was going, what? And I kept thinking, well, they'll realize they're doing it and they'll stop. I was appreciated the lift, but you know, it was distracting. And finally I said, is there somebody sitting back there or not? So I turned around and there was nobody back there. The energy itself was pushing itself up, but it felt like it was coming from the outside. This was this kind of experience that was happening. And so, yeah, you had a whole opening. There was the physical body had gotten it tight, and you were released on some level other than your stretching and getting a massage or something, or getting a good night's rest. There was an energetic release. That would be how I would understand that. So I want to mention that the books are here for sale tonight, and is this tomorrow also, or just tonight? Tomorrow too. Till lunch tomorrow. We didn't know there would be such a small crowd here tonight, because usually when I'm here on Friday nights, the place is full. But then again, 60 people were here this morning, so they didn't. They were not invited to come back, particularly because they need to rest. Although some strong souls did come back, But if in terms of supporting the local bookstore, if you've ever thought about buying one of the books, this is a good time to do it, to support your time and your being here, and also so that the local bookstore will support this Sangha and trust that if they come here and offer books, that it'll be supported. So it's near Christmas, so you can think about buying somebody a Christmas book. And in terms of really understanding Buddhism, my book Dancing with Life, which is all about the Four Noble Truths, that is of all that I've written, that is the direct teaching about liberation. The Four Noble Truths are the teachings that contain all the other teachings, and I was just channeling my teacher, the Venerable Sumedho. So that's for Buddhists, that's a very good gift. This is the last of my commercial moments. Don't usually do this, but I really want to support you. I would never have said a word otherwise. I'm happy to sign books or anything like that. So let's close our eyes for a moment before you make your little... And realize that, you know, the way we get exposed to understanding, to exposed to our own experience, is because we are part of like-minded people in a community. And all of us coming together is what allows the teachings to occur so often. And it's been this way for 2,600 years. The teachings have stayed alive through community. So we have gratitude for community and for all the individuals that make up community. And so I'd like us to say as call and response the four lines of loving kindness that I use and use in my own Sangha and first developed in working with inmates in a prison for a number of years. So I'll say a line out loud and then have you say it back to me, and then there'll be a little moment of silence for you to receive the well-wishing of all the members here in this community this evening. And of course, we're inviting in and sending our well-wishing to all the members of the community, those here and not here. May you be safe from internal and external harm. May you be safe and external harm. May you have a calm, a clear mind, and a peaceful, loving heart. May you have a calm, clear mind, and a peaceful, loving heart. May you be physically strong, healthy, and vital. May you be physically strong, healthy, and vital. May you experience love, joy, wonder, and wisdom in this life, just as it is. May you experience love, joy, wonder, and wisdom in this life, just as it is. As we deepen in our practice and our ability to manifest our understanding and our choice to not cause suffering, may it be a benefit to us, to all of our loved ones, and to everyone with whom we come in contact. Any merit that comes from our practice, we offer it freely to all beings, without preference, without discrimination, without demand. May all beings find the path to the end of suffering. Thank you.